I'll just say this. You can put up with things in life, or you can command things to be in life. Because we've been given dominion and authority in him. So he just didn't just come here. You know, he in Romans it says God sent him here, talking about Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Yes, he came to redeem mankind. But we are, if you're in him, if you're in Christ, then you are the body of Christ. Well, what does that mean to you? Does that mean, well, I'm just making it ends meet, kind of, you know, just getting through, you know, I'm dragging through life, you know? No, that doesn't mean that. Because in him, we've been given authority and dominion in this earth. Think about Jesus. Yes, Jesus came here to redeem mankind, but in Philippians, it says he set aside his glory. What does that mean? It said, in some translations, it said he set aside his divine privileges. So he came here as God in the likeness of sinful flesh without sin to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It had to be that way. But he came and operated here as a man. And what is the scripture? If you just look at Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, why would he have to anoint him if he was already God and he could just operate divinely as he chose to? Why would he need to be anointed by God? Because he set aside his divine privileges. And so he operated here as a man, anointed of God. And what do we see in his ministry? We see him commanding things. We see him commanding the wind to be still. Well, why isn't that something we can do today? It is. We can operate here as his body to be a voice for him. And I think this is where sometimes, you know, we just sit inside, you know, we walk through life thinking, well, I sure hope it happens. No, you speak and you demand it to happen, not to consume it upon your own lusts. That's why it says in James, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you consume it upon your own lusts for own selfish purposes. But when I'm doing something for God's work and his kingdom, I can decree some things. I can say, it's going to be this way. It is going to be this way. And I can use my faith in that way. So I know a couple of years ago, I said, we will get the leaves up, all the leaves up before the snow falls. I decreed that. And it wasn't last year, but the year before, we got them all up. We were doing leaves up into January, middle of January. We finished around the end of January before the snow came. So I think you can have what you say. See, and if you don't understand that, don't throw it away. But I've chosen. I know we've learned these things when we first started in the ministry, looking at the word line upon line, precept upon precept. What is the scripture? And I'm sharing all this to say, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. I'm just sharing some thoughts in my heart here. Go there and look that verse up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. And look it up in any, whatever translation. I want you to look at it because it's going to have some application here in this lesson this morning. We're talking about overcoming in life, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. And I'm just going to jump right in here. What does it say? Prove all things and what? Hold fast to that which is good. So God is saying here through the writer through Paul to the church of Thessalonica. He said, prove all things. What does that mean? If I said prove something, you know, if you're married, your wife says, I love you. Prove it. I don't mean to sound harsh, but you understand what I'm saying. You can tell me you love me, but prove to me that you love me. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's not the only way. That's one way. Right? That is one way. But prove to me that you love me. You're all talk. Prove to me. So he says here, prove all things. What does that mean? Test, examine. What does God do? You're looking at that scripture. I'm thinking of a half a dozen more. Think of Malachi 3:10. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain. So he's saying, prove me. God's saying to prove him. And then look, then also, what does the psalmist say? David said, I'm thinking of another, he said, examine my heart, O Lord, prove me. The psalmist David said that, prove me, Lord. Here's another, I'm thinking there were so many. I just ran just quickly before I came in because this verse was in my heart. Here's another. Some of you know the story. I'll just read quickly here. But the story in 2 Chronicles says the Queen of Sheba came and said what? She heard of the fame of Solomon. And it goes on, she came to prove Solomon. She came to prove all the things that she heard about him. That's what it says in the scripture. She came to prove Solomon with hard questions. So she came to prove what she heard. Well, God is saying through the same thing to us, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So, you know, part of this whole thing of overcoming in life is that we are a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says, God made us what? In the image and likeness of him. So that means you are a spirit. You contact God or you have communication with him through your spirit. You have a soul. That soul contacts the intellectual realm here. And then you live in a body. That body connects or touches this earth realm. So you are a spirit. And if you just go back and look, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, if you look at Genesis, what did God think things into existence? No, he spoke things into existence. He, all through those beginning chapters of Genesis, light be, this be, this be, he spoke it into existence. So we are to speak things into existence. I heard something, we were having, you know, when we just got done with this prayer conference, and something that Reverend Kevin Durant was sharing. He said he was going through something in life, you know, just because you're being used by God doesn't mean that most times you may be confronted with more things sometimes than those that aren't. But in any event, he was going through something. And he was, you know, like some of us do, you know, you're sitting there going, what the heck is this, you know, mumbling and going through something. And he said, he got quiet and he said, the Holy Spirit said, you've gotten awful quiet lately. And he knew exactly what he meant. He had stopped speaking to things. He had stopped speaking to the obstacle. He stopped voicing. And that's what the Holy Spirit said to him. You've gotten awful quiet lately. He stopped proving something, testing it, examining it, speaking to it, proving God's word. And so it just got me to thinking here that if you're going to overcome in life, we have to prove him. We're going to have to prove God. Yes, we believe his word. Yes, we believe it, and we take it to heart. But if you believe 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we that believe, therefore we what? Speak. So part of proving is believing and speaking. That's part of proving. And if you've gotten quiet, you need to turn the volume up a little bit. You need to voice what you believe. You need to speak what you believe. You need to say, it's going to be this way in my life. It's going to be this way. Because the scripture says you are a king and a priest unto God. And you need to voice that and say that. You don't mouse around and go, I'm just I hope we make it. No, we're going to make it and it's going to be this way. Look, spiritual freedom didn't come. The blood of Jesus was shed for us to walk in victory and an overcome in every area of life. Not just a little, every area of life to overcome and have abundance. He didn't just redeem you a little bit. He made you his righteousness. In him we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're redeemed. And the blood of Jesus has redeemed us from spiritual death. It's redeemed us from poverty. And it's redeemed us from sickness. It's redeemed us. And so we need to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord think so. No, say so. And you've got to say so, and you've got to decree it. And so God is looking. I guess I'm saying all this. God is looking for a voice here in the earth. Faith must be spoken. And so you've got to decree some things, and you've got to get together. This is why the devil fights this so hard. He wants to get you, just say overwhelmed, frustrated, and you get quiet. You get quiet with the promises of God. You've got to decree, it's going to be this way. I say that our family is blessed. I say that our bank accounts are full. I say that my children are blessed of the Lord and serve God. I say it's this way. Now, in the natural, it may not look that way. It may look like you're going backwards and you'll never attain it. And that's just exactly how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of what? Our testimony. What's your testimony? Is it defeat or is it overcoming? That's the point we're trying to make. You've got to get up. I don't care how you feel. We all have those days where you just want to pull the covers up and don't want to peek out. For whatever reason, right? You just don't want to pick up and move, right? But you've got to make a decision. I'm getting up. I'm moving forward. I'm putting one foot in front of the other. I don't feel like it, but it's going to be this way. I've had to do those things. We've all had to do those things. When you're not feeling your greatest, when you're not you're not working the greatest that you can, he already knows that. What he's looking for is faith. You know, you think about this. I've been thinking about this word proving him for 2-3 weeks. And the more you think about it, the more thoughts come. And I know they're from the Holy Ghost. But I just thought about this. When you prove something, you're pursuing something. When you prove something, I'll just share this. Because it got me to thinking about something. Everything in the kingdom of God, everything is sowing and reaping. Everything is sowing and reaping. If you go over to Mark 4, and then he shared the parable of the sower, when he got alone, they said, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "You don't understand." He said, "If you don't know or understand this parable," he said, "you won't understand all parables." So the principle of sowing and reaping is woven through everything that we do in the kingdom of God. So when you prove something, it takes faith. You're stepping out. It's like Thanksgiving. You thank God for something and you don't have it yet. You thank God for something, you don't have it. So proving is going to be proving him in areas where you don't have the answer yet. He said, "Test me and see if I'll do this." Well, that takes some faith, doesn't it? You're going to have confidence that his word's settled. He's watching over his word to perform it, and it's coming to pass. And I'm proving him. So this is where, you know, for us, in the area of overcoming, you know, you've got to stay connected. You know, this past week about, or the 2 weeks ago, when we were doing the prayer conference, one of the themes was hearing, seeing, and doing. So you've got to hear him. You've got to see some things. You've got to do some things. What does that require? It requires that we stay connected with him. It requires that we don't just stay connected with him every once in a while. That means in order to prove him, you've got to have your mind upon him. Yeah, we have all things that we're doing. We're busy, we're active, we're doing things, but you've got to stay connected to him. I'm going to tell you, the seasons that we live in now, people are chasing. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? "As it was in the days of Noah." He's saying just like that, it's going to be that way in the end times. We're already living in it. And you can see it now. People are so consumed with stuff in life and things that they're not concerned about God. They're chasing off into almost eternity, not even thinking about God, not thinking about him, his love for them, and his goodness towards them, his mercy towards them, and they're not even thinking about him. Well, and he's saying, "Prove me." So we need to be keeping our mind. In addition to all that we've got going on in our lives, we need to be aware of him. Be aware that he loves us. Be aware that he's active in my life when I don't see him or feel him. And what he's looking for is a people that will love him, seek him, and do what? Speak on his behalf. Speak his word. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a people who will voice for him here, right? What was the Great Commission before Jesus ascended? What did he do in Mark? He said, "Go into all the world and do what?" Just think about it. No, he said, preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. Those that believe will be saved. Those that won't, that don't believe won't. And then he goes on to say, lay hands on the sick, cast demons out. That's going to take a voice. I mean, look, the devil's got people bamboozled today, and he's using their voice to release garbage into this earth realm to create division, strife, hatred, everything else. And what is he doing? He's working through the minds and hearts of people. God's looking for the same thing. He wants your heart and he wants your voice as the body of Christ. That's what he's looking for. And when we do that, when we yield to him, doesn't mean we're not going to walk through life without confrontation. No. You're going to walk through with confrontation, but you're going to overcome through him, through his word and by his spirit. We've been given dominion and authority here in this earth, and we can certainly overcome in this earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So one of the things that, you know, we've been sharing with 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all are familiar with these scriptures, but it's good to look at them in light of what we're highlighting here. In the New Living Translation, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God. We didn't earn it. Who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given what? Us this task of reconciling people to him. He wants to use all of us to speak on his behalf. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Why? Because he paid for every sin, every sickness that ever was and ever will be, for every man that was and every man or woman and child that would be born. He's paid. He became sin. So God's not, people will go to hell not because of sin. People will go to hell not because the sin that's held against him. He said the sin has been paid for. People will go to hell because they didn't accept him and his finished work. That's what we have to share with people. Look, I know you did bad. I know you did some bad stuff. But this has been paid for. You know, this is a good time. Sal, do you have that video? Because it's all right to play it. It can be in this stream. I want you to see this. This is somebody that came to this ministry about 10 years ago. I don't know if any of you know Nick Wojcik. He has no arms or legs. I'll have to give you a little backstory. But this is something I think fits in here. If you can just play this. We saw this clip. When he gets that up, we'll see it. But he, this is a...
Make her walk. If your God is real, make her walk. She hasn't walked for 4 years. We prayed for her. I'm giving the short story. Prayed for her, and she got up, and she walked for the first time. She was crying, jumping up and down on the feet she hasn't walked on for 4 years. But listen to this. That's not why I'm telling you this. Listen very carefully. The person who took me there took me back to the hotel, and he's an Indian man, and he looked pale. And it's hard for an Indian man to look pale. And he looked at me, and I'm looking at him right now, and he says, Nick, I can't believe it. I said, I know. That was cool, huh? He said, no, I didn't want to tell you who that woman was. I said, who was she? He said, Nick, that whole red light district, the 10 acres, 600 homes, six stories high, 10 acres, six girls in each house, was started in 1960s by that woman. She was the madame of the madames. She is the one responsible for 43,000 human trafficked children in the last 45 years. Talk about evil. And God healed her. What sin do you think is stopping God's love reaching you, my friends?
What sin have you committed that's keeping and hindering the love of God towards you? None. Because it's been paid for. And all he's looking for is your heart and your love towards him, because he loves you. The scripture says, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's in Ephesians. So we saw that clip and it just so moved my heart. I said, what the evil that's perpetrated on this earth, Jesus became that. He became sin. He became evil for every man. And that blood was shed for us. I mean, when you look at the scripture, there's a verse. Let me just get over here. It's in, I have it in a previous lesson here. I'll find it in a second. But in Colossians chapter, I believe it's chapter 3. Colossians chapter 1 in the New Living Translation, it says, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. He's not angry at anybody. He became that. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your own evil thoughts and actions. That's what he's talking about here. Evil actions. Yet now has he reconciled you to himself through the death of cross of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. In Colossians 2, this is the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 through 15. I'm not going to read all of that, but Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. This is the Passion Translation. It says, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And for our own completeness, and now our own completeness is found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. Now this is what I was leading to here, verse 14. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. So if there's stuff that thoughts come up about you, he said, I'm not holding that against you. It cannot be retrieved. That stuff has been wiped out, obliterated. You know, in the world, they talk about somebody's record being expunged. They can't find the record. And so this goes on, and it says here, everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Then Jesus made a spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoners, they were his. So we just need to remind ourselves, what am I saying? That we have within us this new life that has freed us from sin and freed us from what? From poverty, spiritual death, from sickness and disease. We've been given the name of Jesus. We've been given access to his authority. We are what? As it says, we were co-crucified with Christ. That's what Galatians says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So wanted to just pick up here in this theme here of pursuing. But turn over just for a few moments. I want to look at Luke chapter 8. This is the parable of the sower. When you prove something, when you're going over there to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, starting in verse 4, and I'll just read a little bit of that so we get the gist of it. But when we prove something, it means to establish or to prove the existence of something or the truth of something or the validity of something. So anybody who's in any kind of field that tests things, you know, you're proving the validity or the worth of something. You're examining it. And so, you know, if you just look up what a synonym would be of that, it means to validate or to substantiate or to prove something. But an antonym would be to disprove it, to refute it. So God's not looking for us to refute something. He wants us to test it and validate it. How do you do that? By faith. Faith is what? Something that you exercise because you believe him, you trust him, you love him, and you're proving to validate something. This is all based on what? Sowing and reaping. Just think about Romans 12:2. I know I had you turn over at Luke 8, verse 4. Jump over to Romans 12:2. Because this, we'll go back to Luke 8, 4. But go to Romans 12:2 for a minute. Look at it in your own translation. But this principle here, this scripture verse, is sowing and reaping. You can begin to see sowing and reaping in everything you look at. It says, what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, so that what? You can prove. Ah, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how does the renewing of the mind come about? It says you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Sowing. Watering. How does the transformation happen? You've got to do what? Faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing the word of God comes about by listening, by feeding, by meditating. And what happens? It causes a renewal of the mind. And what? You're transformed by the renewing of your mind So that now what? There's the harvest. You can do what? You can now prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's the thing. You can't prove him unless what? There's a renewing and a transformation. You can't just say, well, I'm going to prove God, because here's what happens. If your heart's not changed, if there's not a renewal of the mind, then you're going to go, well, I don't believe this. And that is borne out in Luke 8. If you go and just now, let's go back to Luke 8. Let's take a look at Luke 8. See, there has to be sowing of the word into ground. What's the ground? The heart. So the sowing of the word has to go into the heart, and now there's different types of ground that that seed gets into. So sometimes that process is disrupted because of the type of ground. And then you never reach the place of proving. See? And thus, if you don't prove, it's going to be hard to overcome in life, because you're not going to stick with it. So let's go back. Luke 8. I'm going to pick up in, I said verse 4, jump down to verse 11. It says, this is in the Passion Translation. Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. So the word of God is seed. And he's using this natural example to explain a parable. Verse 12, the hard pathway represents what? The hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, the devil, quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. So you may stop and say, well, how can the devil steal something from the heart? Go back up in this chapter, go back up and look at verse 5. It tells you right here. It says, a farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. As he scattered his seeds, some of it fell on the hard pathway and was quickly, what? Trampled down and unable to grow. If you'll take the time and look up the word trampled, just look it up in the Greek and it'll say, refuted or rejected. So anybody whose heart tramples the word of God rejects the word of God, and the devil then comes and does what? Steals the word that's sown, because the word was trampled on. It was rejected. That's what that word trampled means. So now let's continue. Verse 13. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with what? Joy. But soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they do what? They wither and fall away. For they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. Verse 14, the seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their anxious cares. So, and people say, well, God doesn't care. I think we always have to go back and look at God cares. He sent his son to die for me. So if there's a problem of a harvest in my life, I need to go back and look at, how did I receive the word? Have I kept watering it? Have I kept voicing it? What am I doing? Am I letting the cares of life choke something? Right? I need to examine myself. If you go back and look at the scripture says, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Prove. You go look that scripture up. It says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove yourself. So you need to examine. That's exactly what, when we say prove something, it means to examine something. Prove yourself. What am I doing? If God's not revealing something and I'm not missing it, then I'm going to stay steady. So let's go on here. And we're continuing. It says, choked off by their own anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. So what are we saying? If the seed of healing has been planted in your heart, then water it and keep watering it and keep watering it and hold on to it until it bears fruit. If you've planted the seed of prosperity in your heart, then you continue to water it, keep watering it, hold it dear to you until you see the harvest. Don't let the cares of life and all of these cares and concerns and worry get your heart hooked up with your mouth and you start saying something different. You keep steady. You say, no, I plant. A farmer doesn't go out and plant seed and go, I sure hope we get a crop. Boy, I sure hope we get a crop. No, they have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars for the sole purpose of harvesting what they sowed. Somebody, I heard Mark Hankins share this recently. He was saying that a minister of the gospel. He was saying he was in Colorado, and this farmer said to him, do you know what the most important piece of equipment is on the farm? And he said, I have no idea. I'm not a farmer. He said, the machine that sows the seed. He said, banks will loan hundreds of thousands of dollars to a farmer to invest in equipment that sows the seed because that bank knows, all things being equal and everything is good, the weather, they're going to get a harvest and pay off that loan. So it's the same thing. If we've sown seed, whether it's healing from the Word of God, or we've sown seed and we've planted our finances into the kingdom of God, don't tear it up with your mouth. You've sown it. Expect a harvest. Expect the seed to produce. And it's the same thing. If I've sown something in the area of love, if I sow seeds of love, expect it to produce in your life. Everything is based on sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. I sow God's word into my heart, and it produces an abundant crop of what? It produces faith in me, confidence in God, confidence of his word, and I'm going to walk and overcome in life. This is sowing and reaping. I'm putting the word of God, and that word causes faith, supernatural faith, and love and prosperity in me to walk in the blessings of God, to walk and overcome every single obstacle in life. That's not a fairy tale. That's not hopeful thinking. That's faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is real. It's substance. It's supernatural. And if we get it down in our heart and we keep watering it, it will produce. And that's how we overcome. And you have to prove him. You've got to prove God. James chapter 1. Just for a few more minutes here. Hope you're getting a little something here. James chapter 1 and verses 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it." This is proving here now. "Consider it an opportunity for great joy." Consider it an opportunity for great joy. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance," or the King James says patience, "let patience have its perfect work." This says you're letting your endurance have a chance to grow. "So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed," ooh boy, you've got to endure some things. This is where the devil keeps putting the screws to us in life, where we just go, "I've had enough. I give up." And this says here, if you let your endurance grow, and he says, "For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Needing nothing. That sounds like overcoming to me, doesn't it? That means that you're going to have to let your faith is going to be tested in areas of your life where you, when it says, when it is, let, this is an opportunity for joy. And some, I think the message says, mega joy. It's time for mega joy. I don't feel like laughing. As a matter of fact, I feel like crying, but I'm going to put my, see, this is what we're talking about. Letting our heart connect with God. He's faithful. He said, "I'd never leave you nor forsake you." So I'm connecting and I'm going to raise my voice in praise. Think about what happened in the book of Acts. I know I'm digressing here, but what did Paul and Silas do at midnight? They're beaten. They're in stocks. They're in the inner prison. And what did they do? It wasn't like it was just a little messy. There were no lights. It was dark. They couldn't see one another. They're bloody and beaten. What did they do? It says they lifted up their voice to God in praise. I'm sure they didn't feel like it. I'm sure one of them might have been Silas, said, "Look what you got us into." So we need to consider that when our faith is being tested, it says, "Count it all joy." It's an opportunity to have some joy. That is proving God. Prove him in all things. Even in this, prove him. Prove him. Prove God that he says who he says he is in your life. Right? Prove him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the world's full of, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that stuff about God." They're refuting. That's the antonym. They're refuting God. They're wagging their mouth and their hands at God. They did that during Noah's time until the rain fell. And then they're all saying, "Oh God, let us into the ark." Too late. too late. And so we need to just keep in mind that for us, when we face obstacles, I like this when we're talking about endurance. This is an attitude that what? Never gives up. You're not going to give in to a little pressure. Because remember, keep remembering who you are in Christ. The devil's been defeated. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into his dear son. You are his body. And you've been given dominion and authority here in this earth. Hallelujah. So this word patience conveys the idea of being what? Steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. We're going through. It's going to be this way. They may have taken your job. They may have something may have been negative that happened to you. That's the time to say, God, I believe you. I've sown my seed. It says those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by his Spirit. I have your wisdom residing in me. I have your Spirit residing in me, and he leads me and guides me to a better job. You know, you've got to start decreeing some things. Maybe you got a bad report, whatever it is, health-wise. Well, that's not the end of the world. God is your healer. He's your provider. He'll lead you and show you exactly what to do. How to conduct the affairs of life. That's what it says. How to be successful. That's Joshua 1:8. So, what am I saying today? We're saying that we are overcomers in life. Through him we overcome, but we've got to prove that out. We've got to examine it and test it. It just doesn't fall on us, because God expects us to seek him in all that we do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will just leave you hanging out there. No. It says he'll direct your paths. Hallelujah. So you've got to, you know, this boils down to overcoming. It boils down to us walking by faith and proving him. Proving God. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Hallelujah. So when you're proving something, your heart's engaged. You're aware. You're thinking about it. You're meditating on it. You're proving something. You know, when you think about something, you know, you don't realize it, but just think about in your own life. When you pursue things in life, you're proving things, aren't you? You're testing out something. I think we ought to go this way. What are you doing? You're proving something. You're proving an unction or a direction or a nudge that you feel. You're proving that. Because if you were so sure, why would you? You'd say, I already know. We don't even need to think about this. We're going this way, right? But when you have an unction or a leading, part of that is proving. What does the scripture say? Test the spirits, whether they be of God. So you need to test things and examine the word. And it doesn't mean that we don't believe it, but you have to exercise the word of God. You've got to believe it, and there's sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Some things are based on, every test. You know, thinking about this here, there's another scripture in Exodus where it talks about the Israelites here, and go over to Exodus 16. This is the Israelites in the desert, and you know, sometimes when I say as much as we're examining and proving the Word, proving God, He's examining our hearts and testing us, whether we be in the faith or whether we're sticking with it. Look at the beginning of Exodus 16, and it says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel did what? And they murmured. They murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the hand of Egypt, in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." That ain't the right thing to be saying. So what then? They're murmuring, and then look at verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may do what? Prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So sometimes when we say, "Oh yes, I believe God," He's now going to prove you to see whether or not you stick with it. So the same thing applies. You know, like I said when I started, you know, you say you love me, prove it. Minister Joe said, "Show me the money." Well, that is one way. But the point is, when you say you love someone, show me that you love me, you will show them by demonstrating something. And so the same way, you say you love God, you love His truth, it's dear to me, show me by your heart and your mouth. Because your mouth can say something different than what you say is in your heart. So when God, when it says examine whether you be in the faith, you want to examine yourselves. And we can overcome, and as I say, we should overcome, because we've been given everything. Everything. We've been given His Word. What is Romans 1:16? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then the Gentile." So we have a wonderful salvation, and God is expecting us to operate as His body here and to overcome. Yeah. Turn over to Galatians 6. I'm looking at these scriptures that come to mind. Galatians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, do what? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man do what? Prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So we need to prove some things. God is saying again, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Don't give up. Don't give in because of a little pressure in life or a little obstacles or big obstacles. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. God has given you a wonderful salvation. And it doesn't mean that we walk through life alone. That's why we have the body. What does it say? Every joint supplieth. We have all of us helping one another and to pray for one another and to support one another as we walk through this life. So we're not meant to just kind of hope we get through, but every joint supplies. Amen. So be encouraged that we're to prove some things, and when we're tested and confronted with obstacles, you stand right up to that obstacle and you say, no, I'm redeemed by his blood, and I overcome by his blood, and I plead the blood, and I speak words of faith, and I command this situation to change. Now, it may take some time, but you don't give in. It says, when your faith has been tested, let endurance have its perfect work. Endure. That means you stick with it. And it says, when endurance has worked, it says you'll be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I think a lot of times we think it's just faith alone. No, it's faith and patience. It's exercising your faith, but it's also enduring. Sticking with it, not giving in. God loves us, and he's, you know, desiring that we all operate in faith and we come through and overcome. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for putting within us the supernatural power of God. And thank you for putting within us the ability to overcome, your ability, your power, your presence, your word, your blood, your spirit. Greater is he that is inside of me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. And Father, I thank you this day that you are working in each one of our lives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.